recapping the weekend in sports and previewing the week ahead. This is FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Orwig and Corey LaBounty.
All right, welcome in. FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Orwig and Corey LaBounty. Also, Ian Blair on the board doing a fantastic job as always. And I hope everybody out there having a great Monday night. Corey, it is summer. I don't know if you've noticed. It's gotten a little hot out there. A little bit
just
hotter.
Just a tad bit steamy, Dalton. But I tell you, you know, summertime is here. And normally that means we've kind of ended the NBA playoffs or going into the NBA finals, and you have baseball in full swing getting ready for the Major League All-Star game. But with the pandemic, that's just not the case. We are going to have a lot of sports probably, hopefully, in the fall, though.
Yeah, hoping. And that is the number one word right now is hoping, you know, with the increase in coronavirus cases around the country. And we go into detail on those every morning on Mobile Mornings and talk about the number of cases that we've been seeing. Fortunately, the number of deaths seems to have not shown up yet from these increases in cases, but still pretty disconcerting as we try to reopen and keep America open. Of course, sports plays a huge part in that for the entertainment for the people. And we've been talking for months now about what these leagues are planning as far as getting back to play, and who knows what could be the straw that breaks the camel's back. I mean, think back to March when I guess at the time it was only the one Utah Jazz player, Rudy Gobert, who tested positive, shut everything down. And then we found out his teammate Donovan Mitchell had also tested positive, and it was pretty much, you know, a landslide from there. Everybody canceling events, postponing tournaments, and putting off the playoffs, which are huge. And now that it seems like we've gotten so close with the NBA, the NHL, even the MLS, I mean, go through league by league, and they're all making these plans to get started here in this coming month, July, which is now 2 days away, and that's when we now have the increase in coronavirus cases. So unfortunate, but hopefully the sports leagues will make it through, and we'll be here every Monday night telling you what's going on in the world of sports. Got a huge show tonight, and a couple guests that I'm really looking forward to talking with. Coming up here in this next segment, we're going to talk with former St. Luke's All-Star Jeremiah Jackson, now plays for the LA Angels organization. You know, his year has been topsy-turvy, just like so many others that are in Major League Baseball and in the tiers underneath the big league. So we'll talk with Jeremiah Jackson coming up here in this next segment. And then after the bottom of the hour, Bubba Thompson, McGill Tulane graduate, who also was drafted a few years ago. He plays in the Texas Rangers organization. So we'll be talking with Jeremiah Jackson coming up in the next segment, and then Bubba Thompson later in the hour, as they hopefully are preparing to play some baseball. And it's looking like we will get some baseball, we'll get some basketball, and some hockey coming up in July. And that's where we start with here, and that's the events that took place over the weekend and yesterday. A pretty big day for good and for bad for the New England Patriots. It's been the top story all day, but Cam Newton finally finds his landing spot. You know, the news came out, and I think, Ian, did you predict that Cam Newton would end up with the New England Patriots?
I covered back on my original podcast episode like 3 months ago that Cam, if things with Carolina didn't work out because there was already turmoil within the organization, a lot of reports were going around, even then I said, hey, the Patriots are not out of the question. If they lose in the playoffs and Brady walks or he retires, Cam is the next best guy up there, and I honestly think he's going to fit there better than Lamar Jackson did with the Ravens.
Oh, wow. That's big. And so, yeah, Cam Newton, a low-risk, high-reward signing for the master, maybe the best NFL coach that's ever walked the sidelines. Bill Belichick found his guy, and Cam Newton signing a one-year deal. I believe it's around a $1 million contract, but with incentives could be up to $7.5 million. But from what I've seen, Cam will count just about $1 million against their salary cap. And, you know, they say he's coming in to compete for that starting position with another former Auburn quarterback, Jarrett Stidham. And you also have the vet, Brian Hoyer, who has made tens of millions of dollars in the league. And I can't even tell you how many games he's started, but it's not in the hundreds, I'll tell you that much. So you got Cam Newton coming in. He'll compete against Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer. We heard Cam just a couple months ago say that he wasn't going to sign with a team unless he was the starter. I don't think that the Patriots out and out handed him the keys to the organization, but Corey, hard for me to believe that Cam Newton will not be the starting quarterback withstanding injury once New England begins their season this coming fall.
Yeah, you have to be excited if you're Cam Newton because, you know, he is not one of those guys who was burned out of football. I think that he still has a lot of great football left in front of him, and to do it with another Auburn man, it's not going to be easy for Jarrett Stidham. I think the pressure is not on Cam Newton. I think the pressure is on Stidham, no matter who they brought in as a competitor for him, to have an opportunity to take over that organization for Tom Brady. And I think it would be easier for Cam Newton to step into Tom Brady's shoes than it is on the other foot for Stidham to take over for Brady. But again, two great quarterbacks, and I think that Stidham deserves a fair chance, mm-hmm. but you know what you're getting out of Cam Newton for sure.
Yeah, and there's two ways to look at this. If Jarrett Stidham does end up winning the starting position, it either means that Stidham is as good as a lot of people have been saying over the summer when it looked like Stidham would be the answer to fill Tom Brady's shoes. If he does end up winning this competition in training camp, it means that he has the tools. He has what they're looking for. But it also could mean that Cam just is not healthy enough to be a starting quarterback in the league anymore. And, you know, he just turned 31. Now, think of all these players that right now are making a huge difference in the league that are older than 31 years old. Age-wise, there's a lot of tread left on the tires, but we've seen Cam through his career, whether it was that shining season at Auburn or the many, many years that he spent in Carolina afterwards where he was just putting his body on the line play after play. I mean, we hadn't seen a player play that position like Cam Newton has, the way he takes hits. Remember the goal line? Every time they get on the goal line, they weren't running, you know, just naked bootlegs and trying to get Cam out into the end zone without being touched. He was going straight into the line, fullback dive style, and taking hit after hit, week after week. He's had all kinds of surgeries on his shoulder, his throwing shoulder. He had a Liz Frank injury that set him back last year, and that's part of why he went so long without being signed this offseason, just with the coronavirus pandemic, and the teams have been unable to get a team doctor in to give him a physical. But I think that's good news that the Patriots went, 3 months between letting Tom Brady leave and announcing the signing of Cam Newton. Seems like the pressure is kind of off of him a little bit now. It's almost like a whole season has passed since Tom Brady was quarterback for the New England Patriots. It feels like Cam is going to have a lot less pressure just because 3 months went by before they announced him as the quarterback. New England Patriots fans were preparing for a season with Jarrett Stidham at the helm, and now they get to talk about Cam Newton possibly having a career resurgence for their New England Patriots. The rich get richer, I guess.
I mean, it's a can't-lose situation for Bill Belichick. I mean, he has so much respect for Cam Newton, and I mean, you look at Tom Brady. Tom Brady is a pocket passer. Cam, on the other hand, can open up that offense just a little bit more, and the Patriots were already solid on defense. So, again, the odds for them going from Stidham to possibly Newton being the starting quarterback, you know, if you're a better, the odds just went back into New England's favor.
Yeah, they certainly did. Literally, Super Bowl odds dropped from 28-1 to 25-1, which doesn't seem like a big jump, but it really is. And their odds to win the AFC East went from plus 170 to plus 130. So they're now tied with Buffalo with the best odds to win the AFC East. And then Cam Newton's odds to win the MVP award just skyrocketed from 100-1 to 40-1. So the bettors certainly like Cam Newton with the Patriots. Now the Patriots, after this season, they're gonna have a little bit of ground to make up, because literally right after the Cam Newton announcement came last night, the NFL announces that the Pats have been fined $1.1 million and they're gonna lose a third round draft pick for the 2021 draft because, and you might remember back in, I think, December, a staff member for the Patriots was caught filming the Bengals sideline. Did they need to do an advanced scout on the Bengals? I think they were winless at the time.
Bengals. I mean, the Bengals were bad on December 8th, and they were looking to get a lottery possibly and to pick up possibly Tua or Joe Burrow, which they did at that time. So you're just in a situation, though. They did not need to do that in order to get that advantage.
Yeah, we'll talk more about the Patriots and Cam Newton later. Also, just a quick update. We had NASCAR and golf over the weekend. PGA with 7 players that dropped out of the tournament because of COVID-19 concerns. But Dustin Johnson snaps the long drought. He hadn't won since Mexico City March of 2019, and he gets the win at the Travelers Championship yesterday. And then in NASCAR, it was all about Kevin Harvick and Denny Hamlin this weekend. They had back-to-back races at Pocono in Pennsylvania. Kevin Harvick wins race one with Denny Hamlin finishing second. And then they switched places the next day with Hamlin winning on Sunday and Harvick coming in second. Those two kind of taken off with the NASCAR crown early in the season. Hey, coming up, we're talking with Jeremiah Jackson, former Mr. Baseball here in Alabama. He's now with the LA Angels organization. We'll talk to him about this crazy year in sports and what it means for him. You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Orwig and Corey LeBounty. And, we're just over here praying and hoping that these professional sports leagues and the college sports leagues are able to get started coming up later this year. And, of course, the MLB, NBA, and NHL with huge plans for this coming month of July. And it's awesome that we get the opportunity to talk to not only local stars, but rising local stars here on this show. And somebody that I'm really excited to talk to tonight, Jeremiah Jackson, former Mr. Baseball in Alabama, won that award back in 2018 while playing with St. Luke's, and then went in the second round of the MLB draft that year to the LA Angels. He's one of the top-ranked prospects in that organization. Had a great year last year in the Arizona League, the rookie league, tied a single-season Pioneer League record with 23 home runs in only 65 games. And joining us now on Sports Night, Jeremiah Jackson. Jeremiah, thank you so much for coming on with us tonight. Just hit the on button over here on the board, Ian. See what the phone lines. There we go. You there, Jeremiah?
Hit it one more.
Okay, there we go. All right, perfect. So we got you on the line. I want to let everybody know to follow you on Twitter at @DatDudeJackson2. And thanks for coming on with us tonight.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Jeremiah, I mean, when you talk about going from Mobile, Alabama and St. Luke's High School to being drafted early in the minor leagues by Angels organization, tell me how excited you are or you were about that and the process that has led you up to today.
Yeah, no, it's been a crazy road for real. Just a lot of hard work and, you know, praying and hoping everything works out well. But it's been crazy, especially going from high school to being out there as a professional guy. It was a big jump for sure. But, pro ball is just a great experience, and I'm happy to be there and having a great time doing it.
Jeremiah, you're obviously a young guy in the baseball world, although we've all seen you excel here in your hometown. But I imagine every single rep that you can get, every single pitch that you have thrown at you, every single ground ball you field, they're each very important as you try to make your way in this league. It has to be such a weird season, not just for you, but for everybody that's involved in Major League Baseball at this point. What was it like? Where were you when you heard that everything was kind of shutting down momentarily because of the coronavirus pandemic? Were you out at spring training at that time?
Yeah, I was actually in Arizona, spring training game, and, one day when it started kind of getting serious, we just had a meeting, and everybody was like, tomorrow's off, we'll let y'all know when it comes back, just stay home, be safe. We actually have staying in apartments in Arizona. But yeah, and then one day they called us in, and they gave us the option to either come back home or stay in Arizona. At the time, not really understanding how serious this was, I decided to stay in Arizona and stay around there in the facilities and just work out with the staff and you know, just train and hopefully not be there for too much longer, just be ready to go whenever they resume everything. But unfortunately, you know, it didn't happen that way. So I was had to come home, and that's whenever it kind of clicked how serious this was, is whenever, you know, they just kind of told me I didn't have an option anymore. I just had to go home. But, yeah, I mean, it was crazy just because, you know, one day we're out there working out, had a game, wasn't thinking anything, just excited about the season, and the next thing you know, just like that, we got sent home.
Brutal, brutal. And now it's been, what, almost a full 3 months since that happened. I imagine you've been here in Mobile for a lot of that. What's your training kind of been like? You've been going at it solo, or have you found a small group of guys to work out with? You've been able to lift and run and all that stuff?
Yeah, actually, had a good opportunity to work out over at the Performance Lab on Schillinger's with Justin Ware. He's got a great thing going on over there. The Performance Lab has, you know, cages, weight room. It's a really nice facility. But, yeah, luckily they've been open and allowing people to come in there at smaller groups. So we've been up there working out just about every single day, kind of trying to stay ready.
Now, staying ready is something that I know you love the game. You're passionate about it. Now, you've been able to kind of give instructions to younger people or anyone who wants to come and learn how to have that sweet swing that you definitely have. Tell everybody how they can go ahead and get instruction from somebody like yourself.
Right. Yeah, actually, just started up today with doing a few private lessons for anybody in the area who is interested. Just hit me up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, just anywhere really, and we can get you scheduled in whenever.
Now, that's if they want to reach out to you, you're on Twitter at That Dude Jackson, and we'll go ahead and give that again as well here throughout this show. But when you start talking about Mobile, Alabama, and Alabama as a whole being culturally rich in baseball, were you familiar with some of the famous Negro League baseball players who came out of Mobile, who actually had Mobile, Alabama roots, and as well as just professional major leaguers who laid the foundation for people like yourself to be able to play the game?
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, growing up playing ball, following baseball, and hoping to have that opportunity to become, you know, get drafted and hopefully one day make it to the bigs. Just looking up to all those guys and just looking back at some of the guys who, you know, really made huge impacts with the baseball world from Mobile, and just seeing what they did. And I don't know. I'm really big on local talent, and whether it's, you know, sports, anything really. Just I'm really big with it. I like to see, you know, my city feeding off and giving up all those people who are making differences that somehow in the world.
Well, I know you have hundreds of thousands of people down here that are rooting for you and want to see you make it big in the big leagues. Now, you've been, we're talking with Jeremiah Jackson here, and you've been in the Angels organization now for a couple years. Earlier, I mentioned you tied that single season record with the Pioneer League with 23 home runs in just 65 games. What's your feeling? How did you feel about your first couple of seasons up there at the pro level? And what were your goals entering this season before training camps were postponed?
You know, I'm really happy with the way it's going. I'm really happy with the way I've played and the position I've put myself in. You know, just going day to day, just trying to play my best, giving it all I have, and hopefully, you know, just working hard enough and one day I'll be fortunate enough to be in the big leagues and playing on TV every night. But yeah, no, I've been excited. The Angels have given me great opportunities. They've been great. It's been a little bit of adjustment early on, but as far as getting accustomed to the schedule and everything, the Angels were really good with helping out the younger kids, making them feel comfortable and starting to understand, you know, what it's like to be a professional athlete. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I mean, really the goals this year are always just to kind of, you know, go out there and improve. You know, I don't really look at it so much as number-wise, just as much as if I can look back on the season and know that I got better, I improved, I put myself in a good position to be called up or you know, to potentially make that time I get until it takes to get to the big league shorter. That's just really my main focus, is just going out there every day and just working hard enough to make sure that I put myself in the best position possible.
You've definitely been able to do that during this pandemic, Jeremiah. You made ESPN for a high school home run that you had,
yeah.
And I thought that that was pretty cool. Can you kind of wind this segment on down with us, telling us about that high school home run and how ESPN got a hold of that? Because, I mean, you absolutely belted one, and it was pretty funny to watch.
Yeah, no, it was crazy because that was actually our senior night. You know, senior night, we had a bunch of fans out there, a bunch of people were out there, and it was just so weird to me how it just kind of popped up out of nowhere. Like, I guess it just got to the point where, you know, there's no sports going on, so they're just looking for anything they could find to, you know, entertain people. But, yeah, so it was crazy because I was actually playing golf, and I got a DM from ESPN or SportsCenter on Instagram, and I was like, oh, that's interesting, like, what is it? And then they asked for the video because I just recently uploaded it on TikTok. So I guess they saw it from there, and then next thing you know, they posted it on their Instagram and their Twitter and their TikTok and everything, and it just blew up. But yeah, it was really funny just because of the whole thing that happened about it. It was just really just our team, my teammates being into the game, passionate about it, and it was bottom of the sixth inning, or seventh inning, actually, and tie ball game. Pitcher's throwing good pitches, makes a few good pitches, gets some calls, and one of the fans said something about striking out, and, you know, it was funny because people ask me all the time, like, oh, did you hear it? Could you hear it? And, like, when I'm in the box, it's kind of, like, locked in. So, like, I heard him saying something, not really quite making out what it was. But it was funny because, you know, I got to watch the video and I saw it and I was just like, wow, like, just pretty funny,
yeah.
Pretty funny moment, though. But it was a good moment because it was a walk-off to win on senior night, so it was probably one of my favorite high school memories for sure.
Yeah, you certainly went viral for that, and I got to say, A+ bat flip there.
Yeah.
That was a magnificent bat flip.
Purely emotion.
Well, that's what we love to see, Jeremiah. Thank you so much for coming on Sports Night with Corey and I tonight, and good luck as you get back into baseball this season.
Yeah, no, I appreciate y'all having me. I appreciate it.
All right, that's Jeremiah Jackson. Follow him on Twitter at DatDudeJackson2, and we'll be back with more Sports Night on the way.
You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Orwig and Corey LeBounty. And I want to thank everyone out there that voted for us in the nappies. Now, the time to vote has come and gone. I think yesterday was the last day to vote. I saw, Corey, you were Facebooking or tweeting or both about
yes.
That yesterday. And we appreciate your votes. Now we just let the cards fall where they may. And hopefully, in our second year of being nominated and our second year of having this show on the air, hopefully we'll come home with the best sports show in Mobile County. And tonight, it's been a baseball-centric show with news that the MLB is getting ready to fire it back up and hopefully have spring training or what they're calling summer camp, not spring training 2.0, but summer camp, get that rolling here at the beginning of July and start playing some games later in the month. Just talked with Jeremiah Jackson, the former St. Luke star who's now in the LA Angels organization. And now it's time to talk with another rising star from right here in Mobile, Bubba Thompson, who was drafted in the first round by the Texas Rangers just a few years ago, joins us right here on Sports Night. Bubba, thanks so much for coming on with us tonight.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
Bubba, let's talk about your time at McGill-Tulane. Being a dual-sport athlete, you had an opportunity to play quarterback for the Yellow Jackets, and you really had a successful situation there playing quarterback, and you guys won a lot of football games, and then you would transition over to baseball. But then you have an opportunity to be drafted by the Texas Rangers. Kind of take us through that process of being a dual-sport athlete and playing multiple sports in high school to being – one of Mobile's first drafted in a very long time in the minor leagues.
I think, man, just dedication. Playing two sports, people don't know, like, it's hard and it's hard work. You know, you got to have the dedication to do both sports and make sure you're getting all your work in doing those sports and working hard. So, and I also had at McGill good people in our corner, me and my teammates, and they wanted the best for us, and they put us in the best spot for me to succeed over at McGill.
Well, playing
so everybody can succeed, you know.
And that's a great message to get out to the young kids around here. And, you know, certainly it's not easy to play at a high level in 7A high school baseball in Alabama. But if you can, just try to explain the difference in suiting up for McGill Toulon and getting out there on the diamond, the difference in that and your first brush with actual professional baseball league pitchers and hitters. What's that competition level difference like once you get out there?
I mean, once you keep moving up, man, the competition is, it gets better. So you got to get better, and it's just more consistent, good guys playing against. Because in high school, you'll have a few you're playing against. But once you keep moving up, mostly everybody is up there with you. So you got to also bring your A game to the field.
One of the things, Bubba, that I like to talk to the athletes about that are from Mobile, Alabama, when you see that 251 represented, whether it's in Major League Baseball, whether it's in the NBA with DeMarcus Cousins, you see the success and you hear Mobile, Alabama's name mentioned a lot, whether, you know, you have situations to where you have to put your name on the map to represent Mobile, Alabama. Did you feel any pressure being drafted by the Texas Rangers and having an opportunity to stand at home plate and hit that first home run against a major league pitcher?
Man, it's all good, man. And I just thank, you know, God for everything that he has done for me. And all the hard work is paying off. Not yet, you know, you still got to work for what you want. But getting my name called, man, it was relief. I didn't feel any pressure, man. I was just every day playing the game I love, you know. And every day I'm going to try to do that.
Yeah, and you've been working and grinding to get your way, move your way towards the top of that organization. Unfortunately, something that you can't always resist is injuries.
Right.
And you had a problem. I don't even know how to say this. A broken hammy bone? Is that what that is in the hand? Do you know how to say that?
Hammy bone.
Hammett. Okay.
It's a hammy bone.
I put a little too much English on it there. Hamate.
So. I didn't know either, man. Until it really, you know, hit me.
And obviously, you know, the hand.
It started hurting.
Hand is pretty important when you're playing most sports,
sure.
but especially baseball. You rehabbed that. You had surgery. How's everything going there?
Good. Everything's going good. I'm feeling good. My swing's feeling good. Everything's feeling good. So. When we get that call next year or when, I'm going to be ready.
Were you familiar with the history of Mobile, Alabama baseball, whether it be Ozzie Newsome being born here, you look at Satchel Paige, you talk about, of course, Hank Aaron, and just the history of baseball in general. Did that ever come to you? Did anybody ever approach you about all the major leaguers that are from Mobile, Alabama?
A little bit, Hank Aaron, but I just feel like I didn't really look at it when I was younger, man. I was outside playing sports, you know, having fun, you know. Didn't really do much of that.
Well, obviously, this has been a year unlike any other for not just professional sports leagues, but for a lot of things around this nation and around this world. Where were you when the news kind of came down that MLB was going to shut things down for a little while and wait to see how this pandemic played out? Were you out of spring training?
We was in spring training. We didn't know it was going to get that bad, though.
Mm-hmm.
We was hearing that it was in Japan, I think.
Right.
China. And it ended up getting over there, and then they just shut everything down.
What were you focused on working on? What were your goals going into the 2020 season? And I suppose they're still your goals, but obviously kind of had to take a break from training at the professional level.
man, taking a day out of time, man, making sure I'm staying healthy, and I'm working on all aspects of my game, and I've always been like that. I want to work on all my stuff in the game. If I can't do something, I want everything to be good. So I just don't work on one thing. I want all of it.
Now, I have to go back and tell me what it was like playing quarterback. I mean, how does playing quarterback help you stand in the batter's box or help you as a defender in the outfield or whatever position utility-wise you may be asked to play on that next minor league and major league level? Being a quarterback, how does that help you?
Just compete, thinking with the game, the situation, and stuff like that at a high level.
And I know you had offers to play football. Obviously, you know, it takes a lot to get drafted in the first round of the Major League Baseball draft, and that's something that very, very, very few people in the entire world can say. And you were one of these people that was drafted in the first round. But, you know, if you did decide to stick with football, did you have a specific school in mind that you were going to go play, or did it even get that far?
When it got closer to the draft, wherever I was picked, if I was picked here, then I'm going, you know, that kind of stuff. And just to where I was picked, I mean, and I knew it kind of going into the draft, so I wasn't really, you know, worried about football at the time because I knew where I was going to probably go. So, I mean, I'm sure it would have been fun for me to, you know, go play D1 and do all that, but something else was called for me, and I'm going to give it all I got.
So what have you been doing to stay, you know, sane, first of all, during this entire break? Sane, but also stay in shape. You've been working out around here in Mobile?
I am. Been working out, hitting, just trying to stay in shape.
Yeah, that's big time for you, Bubba. And again,
Baseball, you got to have is reps, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's important.
Then you just can't wake up, you know, and like the football field and go out there and have fun and play. Baseball is the same thing, but it's just more reps. You need more reps than anything.
Well, we definitely want you to get all the reps you can get because we look forward to hopefully seeing you and Jeremiah compete against each other at that major league level. And that would be awesome to see two Mobile guys.
Yeah, that would be nice right there.
And I think it's going to happen. You talked about your hard work and determination and what it takes to get there to that next level. And you and Jeremiah both have represented not only your families well, but Mobile, Alabama as an ambassador of the game of baseball. And want to thank you for that.
This is good to, you know, have my name talked about like that.
Well, hopefully we'll be talking about it for years and years. Bubba, thank you so much for coming on Sports Night with us tonight.
Thank y'all.
All right, that's Bubba Thompson, a first-round draft pick by the Texas Rangers back in 2017, working his way through the organization. And I believe, Corey, we'll see him on TV here before long as he continues to work his way into that position.
It's just got to be hard dealing with this pandemic. You know, like you said, just the reps, the one-on-one training, there's nothing like getting in minor league baseball, but want to wish them the best moving forward.
Yeah, and as baseball gets started again, it's going to look unlike any season we've seen before. When we get back, we'll talk a bit about what the Major League Baseball shortened season will look like this year. Also, the NBA releasing their schedule of games as players get ready to head down to Orlando, and the NHL planning their season tournament too. We'll be back with more Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
Breaking down the big games and talking about the big names. You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Orwig and Corey LeBounty. Thanks again to Jeremiah Jackson and Bubba Thompson, two rising stars from right here in Mobile in the Major League Baseball Association, and hoping that they, you know, get a good chance this year to continue to put their names in, on that list for their organizations that they work for. Hopefully we'll see them on the big league fields here before long, but I want to thank them for coming on with us tonight. If you want to follow Jeremiah on Twitter, he is at DatDudeJackson2. That's DatDudeJackson2. And for Bubba, you can follow him online at BubbaThompson20. But when you got kids that are in sports, not just here in Mobile County, but, you know, Baldwin County, all around this area, you always want them to have good role models, and you want them to work hard at whatever it is they decide to put their efforts into. And to look at two guys, Jeremiah Jackson and Bubba Thompson, just a couple of many great athletes that Mobile has produced, you can't beat that. And you see them working hard on a day-to-day basis trying to make their dreams come true. Outstanding to hear the two of them talk.
Yeah, I mean, it's so much fun. I mean, you look at Josh Donaldson being a local graduate of Faith Academy here, and he can share knowledge with those guys as to what it takes. But two local guys bringing back America's pastime, and I'm just glad that there's going to be a 60-game season.
Yeah.
And regardless of how the divisions are going to be shook up, it doesn't matter. It's just an opportunity to play, and that's what these young fellas, if you're a minor leaguer and you miss out on a year, that's huge from a developmental standpoint.
Yeah, and, you know, things will be different once MLB comes back this coming month, July. You know, they're shooting to have opening day either July 23rd or 24th, and teams actually set to report to training camp, which they're now calling summer camp. They're mm-hmm. supposed to, you know, show up pitchers and catchers by Wednesday of this week. So it's a go as of right now. We'll see whether coronavirus shuts things down again. But the MLB is going to look so different this year. You mentioned it, Corey, 60-game season. Normally they have 162 games in a season. So there may end up being an asterisk next to whoever wins the World Series this year, but I think it's important that they at least get out there and play some games. And the way we're looking at MLB right now, so a 60-game regular season, and you know, we've week in and week out, we've talked about the debate back and forth between the owners and the players trying to decide on pay and how much the MLB players would get paid to come out and play the game that they love. They didn't really settle that. I mean, it came down to the MLB and Commissioner Rob Manfred basically saying, all right, we're going to play a 60-game season, show up or don't show up. We're playing the games regardless. And there are going to be some major changes this year. So even if the positive coronavirus cases don't bring the plan to a halt, teams are going to play their four divisional opponents 10 times, and then they're going to play each of their five interleague opponents that are in that same area geographically as them four games apiece. So let's say the NL East, they will play the AL East outside the division. Same for the NL and AL Central and NL and AL West. But there's also a couple different changes. The National League is going to use a designated hitter this year, which some people have been pushing for that for a long time. Even without this pandemic, they were hoping that the National League would start using a DH. Now, the reasoning behind doing that this year is so that you don't have to switch out your pitchers as often as they have. You can keep one arm up there on the mound. Even if they're not a good hitter, you'll be able to continue to keep them in the game, and then that doesn't goof up the rest of your schedule for that week. You're able to kind of keep that rotation with the pitchers going. But that could be good news for a lot of teams in the National League, including the Atlanta Braves, who are probably in a good position to use that designated hitter role. Also, and we'll have to see whether Jeremiah and Bubba will end up on the taxi squad for their team, but Major League Baseball will now allow each team to keep as many as 60 players available to play in these Major League games. They're calling it a taxi squad. And, you know, you have your active roster, and then you have this taxi squad that they'll be able to go to in case players test positive or what have you during this shortened regular season. So that could be good news for a lot of these younger guys that are working their way up in the organization. But also a huge change to baseball this year is they try to get in and out of games more quickly than they ever have before. Once they go into extra innings, and they've been testing this out in some minor leagues previously, but they're going to go ahead and put a runner at second base.
I like it.
In the extra inning games. So you could potentially have a pitcher pitching a perfect game and lose while pitching a perfect game. Say he makes it into extra innings, hasn't had a hit against him. Well, you put that player at second base, you could have a sacrifice fly or an error of some sort, and you know, the winning runner comes home from second base, and all of a sudden you have a pitcher who was pitching a perfect game lose. Now, that would be obviously very rare. I think that's never happened before in the history of Major League Baseball. But just a couple of the small changes that we're going to see this year when they hopefully get started here at the end of July.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to the rule changes, and you have to – it's ever evolving because of the pandemic, and you talked about baseball and how they're changing, unsportsmanlike, and can't argue with the umpire, you know, no spitting sunflower seeds, you can chew gum, but basketball is pretty much the same way. We've been talking about this bubble here for a couple of months, whether they were going to go to Orlando, how it was going to work out, and now that's kind of getting ready to come to pass also, Dalton.
Yeah, so they're setting things up in Orlando. I think I read that one team is already down there, maybe the Toronto Raptors. I may have read that incorrectly, but you got teams getting ready to show up in Orlando. Of course, not every single NBA team has been invited to play in this postseason tournament and, I guess, remainder of regular season. So you're going to have 22 teams, pretty much the entire Western Conference. Not really, but you had so many teams that are close to that 8th seed in the Western Conference that you have teams like the Pelicans, the Kings, Spurs, Suns. They'll all be there in Orlando. In the Eastern Conference, you really only have one extra team outside of the 8 that are holding playoff positions currently. And they released the schedule here over the weekend. So we're actually going to get it started if everything stays on schedule. Zion Williamson and the New Orleans Pelicans will be the first televised game from Orlando. Thursday, July 30th, they have two games scheduled, a doubleheader on TNT. Get it started at 5:30 with New Orleans, and the team that shut down the NBA, the Utah Jazz, will play the Pelicans in that first game. And then that'll be followed by what could potentially be the Western Conference final with the L.A. Clippers and the L.A. Lakers playing at 8 o'clock on that Thursday. And then it's full bore from there as they play pretty much every single day until they get into the NBA Finals. So the Pelicans, you know, the word going around after they released the schedule was that the NBA must want the New Orleans Pelicans to get into this playoff in order to make things interesting. Now, there will be, like, I guess, what do you call it, a play-in game between the 8th and 9th seed after this shortened ending to the regular season wraps up. But the Pelicans are in a really good position here. They're going to face the Jazz, like I mentioned, the L.A. Clippers, obviously a tough team, the Grizzlies, who they're trying to catch in that Western Conference playoff. They're going to play the Sacramento Kings twice, the Wizards once, the Spurs once, and the Orlando Magic once. If you're trying to get into the playoffs, that is a heck of a schedule to come into, Corey.
Well, I mean, you look at what Zion Williamson has done for TV ratings and, you know, the abrupt stop right there at the end of March. You definitely want to see him in the playoffs from a fan standpoint to see if he can go ahead and push for Rookie of the Year also.
Yeah, and people were trying to say that the NBA was giving this layup to the Pelicans because they wanted to see Zion in the postseason. But Brian Windhorst, who, of course, is a huge name in the NBA, a really good reporter, he kind of put that story to bed earlier. He said a quarter of the Pelicans' remaining games were against 8 teams that didn't even make it to Orlando, while the Grizzlies, who they're trying to catch, had an absolutely brutal schedule going into the end of the season. So the Pelicans, even though it looks like they have a cakewalk into the playoffs, they were pretty much going to play these teams anyway at the end of the year.
Well, I tell you what, July 30th, 31st, just excited to see the round ball bounce again. And if it's in the bubble, it'll be fun to watch.
All right. Fastest hour in sports. That does it for another episode of Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5. Coming up next, Sweet Home Canabama with Jennifer Boozer. Have a great week, everyone.